Just sitting around waiting for my life to begin while it was all just slipping away. Ladies and gentlemen, welcome to season two, episode eight of the same old Wombles. We're keeping this one short. It's just myself and my good man, Adam Proctor. Hello, Adam.
Hello, everyone.
No one doubts the way you feel. No, your passion's very real. I must say we're all impressed the way the fans approach this test. The days have gone when football clubs live and fly just on fans' love. Davis isn't just a game, and tough decisions must be made.
So, yeah, today, I mean, we're making a decision. We're going to try and go earlier in the week from this point on. But today, I know you'll miss us, all the listener that we have, and we don't want to upset you. So we thought we'd just get this podcast out, and we're going head to head with I think all the other podcasts today. So we're expected big numbers, but we don't want to disappoint you. So here we are, and we're just going to go a short thing. We just want to have a little bit of a chat about last week's game, a little bit of chat about where we are with the DTB, and sort of like whet your appetite for next week when we'll be hopefully coming earlier on in the week. We're going to keep you posted, so check your Twitter feeds and socials for when we're coming on, because I know that this is something you want, and we don't want to have this anxiety hanging over you. Will they? Won't they? So anyhow, here we are. Short podcast, short sweet. Adam, let's get on to it, mate. Last week, it was the most inevitable thing in the world. It was always going to happen. 2-0 up. Do you know what? I just spent that second half, as soon as their one went in, I just spent the whole of that half going, oh, when's it going to happen? I wanted it to happen soon. I didn't want it to be as it was, like literally the last second. If it could have been earlier, I could have got rid of the suffering a bit more in the second half. But it was just so painful.
It was mad painful. It was mad painful. So I brought a friend who's never seen, doesn't really watch football, never seen a live game of football before. So we went into the shop, we went into the museum, had like a fantastic chat in the museum with the people there, and looked around all the stuff, and then wandered into the, the pub and the bar, and been talking about Wimbledon and the setup and what it was about, and he really bought into all of that, and gets the kind of model that doesn't revolve around this kind of huge owner and appreciates all that stuff. And I think definitely left as a fan in general terms. And one has said, I'm going to come back, which is fantastic. So, so we had a really great sort of start, easy trains, enjoyable, wandered around, got some nice beers, got some drinks, didn't buy any merchandise. And then, I mean, one of the other things he said that I thought that, unprompted, was that we were sitting in the pub, outside the pub, and he said, it feels like a real community just from being there. And so that was fantastic, and I showed him some stuff and whatever, and I think he bought into it, which is great. So then obviously we go and watch the game, which is like, I mean, yeah, he totally was like, wow, it's a different, I made him watch a Wimbledon game a few weeks before on iFollow and whatever, and because I was working, doing some stuff with him, and he was like, yeah, wow, it's a totally different thing watching it live. And he said, you don't hear the atmosphere. And I think he, when we got home, he said to my wife, yeah, Adam seemed to be one of the most animated people there. I get a bit excited, obviously, as we know. And yeah, I think half time, we're winning 2-0. The goals are down the other end, which is always annoying because it's too far away for me to really enjoy the magic of it. I go and use the robot bar, and it's actually selling the Camden Hells beer that I want. I don't have to buy the stupid Stella that I don't want, even though I've got a Stella at the moment, which is not good. But
Don't drink that now, Adam. We don't want to
no,
ruin the podcast, mate.
exactly. I'll drink that on the way home. And then it was so funny because I came back and we were all pretty nervous, like after half time, and my friend was like, what's that? What's up? What's the matter? Like, what's going on? I'm like, this, we just can't hold on to games. And so I think all of us were like, let's just do what we were doing the first half, come out, do the same thing. And of course, it fell apart quite quickly in terms of...
It was just because we were so good. I thought we were so good in the first half. Genuinely, you read the reports afterwards, it could have been 3 or 4.
It should have been 4.
It was just so absolutely ridiculous. And yet inevitable. They had nothing for the game. And when they scored, it was almost like they'd won a cup final. All their players, all their coaching staff running down. And it's just awful. It was just the worst feeling. But I now think we need to have something, some sort of counselling, because it happens so often that we need to almost be ready for it. And although I spent the whole of that second half being prepared, being ready for the moment when they scored their equaliser. And actually, fact, when the game carried on, I was almost thinking, we're going to lose. It's going to be Salford all over again. You know, they've had a goal cancelled out. You know, it's just, it was just so, so dreadful. So inevitable. It was awful. I don't know what you do. I mean, like, because we come out of the... Do we run out of energy? We come out of the block so quickly. We're so fast now. And now we're going to be having... And now we've got Oggs on the left and Oggs on the right and Curry on the left. They're up and down the wing. I mean, it's just... We press, don't we? We're a high-pressing, in-your-face team. That is where we're at. But we've got a mistake in us. And I just wonder, if you're an opposition player, like this week, you know, whenever we play, like we're going to be playing Tranmere in a couple of weeks, who are at the moment in the relegation places, which is my worst. I hate playing those sort of sides. They're the sides I hate playing the most. I like to be playing a side who's near the top, so at least I can forgive it if something goes wrong. And the Tranmere players are going to be on there going, oh, mate, you can score as many goals as you like. You ain't winning this. because I've just said, what was it we were saying? The Cherry Red Record Stadium, the most porous fortress there is. It's so not a fortress.
Oh, my word. Yeah, it was a nightmare in the end. And there was obviously the offside goal, followed by the goal scored in whatever it was, 108th minute or whatever the heck it was, which is just ridiculous. I mean, I don't know. And there was obviously some other madness going on. They obviously had the drink break thing, but then there was something where they were all gathering together for no reason, and then the overtime tablet thing didn't work, or his subs were wrong, so they had to get somebody checked. So there's all weirdness. So there's obviously there's sort of some mental disruption with the end of the game, because none of us knew how long it was being added. We knew it was going to be quite a bit of time, but it wasn't clear. And again, I thought they'd said that it had to be made clear how much they had time on, and they would continue running the board so that all the people in the stadium would know how long. So we didn't know. So, obviously someone must have told Johnny Jackson how long was left. How that got communicated to players, I don't know.
I don't think so. I mean, my understanding is that what happened is that we had an injury. One of our players was injured. I can't remember who it was. At the moment when they were going to hold the board up. So they then got confusion about, was there going to be a substitution? Was he coming on and off? The guy didn't know what to do with the board, whether to put the sign up for a substitution or added time. And it just and then the game carried on. And at that point, you're into it. But I still think, even if you were a minute late, you need to hold the board up to say there's going to be this amount of time. It was inevitable. I mean, it's just so...
I mean, no one knew. And, like, the only other thing I said was, like, why weren't we just lumping it, like, back up the... Why weren't we just lumping it up the field? Just keep whacking it towards their goalie and just keep doing that. We have 11 people behind the ball. If you're that shattered or mentally fatigued, just keep hitting it in the complete opposite direction to your goal with the biggest kick you can do. That will end the game without them scoring.
I think the trouble was we were doing some of that and the ball kept coming back to us. There was a way we needed to be sort of like holding on. I mean, it's just So it's almost you.
Yeah, it's either hold like yeah, either you've got to kind of run into the corner and do something, or you've just got you've got to pick one or the other.
But whatever, there's a mistake, and I think already I read that we've already lost 9 points from winning positions at this stage of the season, which is just it's just infuriating. And I don't know what the best thing is to go to, you know, because I'm not entirely sure that we're a side that comes from behind either. So it feels to me like we've literally got to score four goals. We've got to score three or four goals. That seems to be our pattern. So it's almost like the Keegans of the, what was it, of the 90s, that Kevin Keegan approach. We know it doesn't matter how many goals you score, we'll score one more. That seems to be the approach that we're going to have to take. But it does mean hitting the target more often. I mean, and poor Ali, you know, he's got through a couple of times and it's just like, oh, please, can something fall for him? It needs to bounce in off a knee or something.
Yeah, so, I mean, Ali, I think, you know, again, he looked a bit tired, confidence. He obviously laid a few balls off when you thought he would shoot. He had a few kind of mistakes and whatever. But again, we sort of hung out and went for a beer downstairs. And I said, oh, let's try and go up to man of the match. Now, we weren't that long, but clearly he'd gone for man of the match quick and then was like obviously being called straight, and Ali had man of the match and was being called straight back in. But we got up there and saw him and I was like, I think they might have already done it. Wow, okay, probably told him like, get up there, get the champagne, get back in the dressing room, we need to talk about this game. But he was obviously there friendly and we just carried on, had a beer, and then when we came down the stairs, Ali's there signing autographs with all the kids. And my friend was like, wow, he's like, it's not like he's like a normal guy. And I'm like, yeah, that's the kind of thing we have here. And I was like, even though clearly it was disappointing, clearly he hadn't had as good a game as he could have done, again, not scoring and making a few silly mistakes and clearly laying the ball off when last season, I'm sure he would have taken a shot. But he was still there doing his thing. You know, meeting and greeting. So that was really cool, you know.
Yeah. I mean, I think for me, one of the key things, and you were talking about merchandising earlier on, the key thing for me, and I think this needs to spread, is the Hawaiian shirts. Now, I wore the Hawaiian shirt. You can find it in a club shop. I'm not entirely sure about the base colour being green. I think it should be a blue or a yellow. It makes sense to me. But, you know, it's there. And it gets a lot of attention. And I was very excited that I came out into the concourse at halftime and there was three other lads in their Hawaiian shirt, got pictures. And I've decided that my policy is that I will continue to wear the Hawaiian shirt. I'll continue to wear the Hawaiian shirt until we win a game at home. And it's not my fault. If you want to stop it, win a game. That's all I'm saying. I'm coming at you with my Hawaiian shirt. And the greatest thing, I don't know if you noticed this, but in the rugby, England versus Japan, panning across the crowd, and there, resplendent was the Hawaiian shirt on Matt Lowndes is wearing the Hawaiian shirt. And people, come on, this is it. If we want to make an impact, go get the Hawaiian shirt, 40 quid, best 40 quid you'll spend. Wear it in the next set. Wear it for Tranmere. Wear the Hawaiian shirt for Tranmere. Hashtag Hawaiian shirt for Tranmere is the next thing we're doing. But it's good to see that it's growing. Every game I go, it's growing. I mean, the fact I was in the bar for the queue and people were taking a picture of my shirt going, is that really a Wimbledon shirt? People take, and one guy said that he always borrows his mate's shirt and wins the, at his work, he always wins the ugly shirt competition. So he's encouraging his mate to get this shirt so he can win it again. That was a little bit off, to be honest. That was a little bit harsh. But, anyhow, get the Hawaiian shirt, and I'm loving it. And I'm big up to wherever it is. Matt Lowndes, fantastic job. I hope to see it in the next rugby match as well. But yeah, so that for me was that's the highlight. Bring on the Hawaiian shirts. But the rest of the game was inevitable. Play really well, fantastic in your face performance, and then let a two goal slip. Ugh. Anyhow. Onwards and upwards. So the great thing in our last podcast, we were, you know, we're obviously still slightly confused about the situation with the DTB. There's not been another statement that's been put out saying, you know, really clarify the Danny Macklin or what the recruitment process is. However, we did say, I'm surprised there wasn't an SGM. Surprised there wasn't, and we called for it. An SGM we called for, and an SGM we have got. And I'm interested though, Adam, because when I think of SGMs, like special general, I always think that they're sort of like, you know, immediate, like there's been something, let's get an SGM out. When is it?
Yes, November. November the 4th, I think.
No, it's ridiculous. Some point in November. But I've gone to try and get that clarification because I've gone onto the DTB website. And on it, there's no information about. And I can't even now find it on Twitter. It's like almost like I had a dream that there's an SGM happening.
Well, I went onto the fantastic pro boards, and according to that, Michelle said on there that they will be publishing the date formally with deadlines for papers and resolutions, but it is planned for Wednesday the 1st of November at 7:30. But yeah, no, it's funny you should say that because I had the same thing. I was like, SGM means it's like special general, I mean it's going to happen soon because something's happened. And they're like, see you in 2 months or whatever. So hang on a minute.
Yeah. And it's great. But aren't the elections almost around the same sort of time as well?
They must be kicking off soon then, yeah.
I'm pretty sure the elections are that sort of. So my feeling is that the SGM is sort of maybe, it's not necessarily going to clarify things around the recruitment process of the CEO, or clarify why Danny was allowed to go so quickly. It's probably going to be more about when's the elections. It's going to be more information about the Dons Trust.
Yeah,
election.
I can't imagine. Yeah, I do. Yeah, why else? I mean, well, I guess that yes. Well, because they're not going to do a meet the Dons thing, are they? And it wouldn't be an AGM. So maybe it's an SGM to basically announce the election. So maybe it's got nothing to do with us calling the one whatsoever.
No, we'll take it. We called for an SGM. It happened. This is the same old Wombles in action, my friends. This is what we do.
We make things happen. Yeah. So, I mean, there's not been much. Like you said, there's been no news, really. On the Dons, on the pro boards, Michelle has sort of tried to clarify why Ed Leake was picked as a stand-in due to his sort of experience and whatever. I'm still don't really agree with it, but at least that information came. But also I said, well, why not communicate that information in the thing that says he's stepping in and why he's been selected rather than just putting he's been selected. Still, that post seems to be going on and on. I don't know what people are talking about there, but obviously the people are as confused as me, which is cool. Chris obviously has moved over, but we haven't heard anything from him.
What? Hey, let's not diss this. Let's not diss the Chris, because I say this. He has stepped in, and there are huge things going on with our club. Massive issues occurring all the time, and I think the biggest one we can agree on is the water bottles, bringing bottles of water in. This has been the most contentious thing that we've had to deal with. Bringing bottles of water in, are we allowed to? And then if they do come in, can we keep the caps on? And now Chris has stepped in. I don't know what he said or what he's done, but you can now bring a bottle of water in and keep the top on. We are moving. We're solving each problem at a time. I think there's some issue about umbrellas as well. If that could be dealt with, I mean, pretty much we've solved our situations here.
Well, it's interesting you say that because obviously if we can solve obviously the water thing, right, that is solving when it's really hot, people who need water, all that kind of stuff. So we fix that. So if it's baking hot, solved. You can have your refreshing water and you're not going to die. Yeah. Obviously, on the other side of things, as we know, now living in England, it's chucking it down with rain.
Yeah.
So whatever the issue with umbrella is, that needs to be fixed next. Then we've fixed all of the kind of issues. I don't know. I mean, maybe blankets might need to be handed out for the cold.
I don't know if there's going to be a blanket situation. God knows if there are leaves. I don't know what our situation is being near trees. If we're too near, if I think we're far enough away from trees for this not to be a leaf.
Not to be added. Okay.
A leaf issue to be added onto our things.
We won't have to give people like leaf blowers as they come in.
Exactly. Listen, no, I know it's important for. I know it's really important for people. And to be honest, it is. It was ridiculous that you couldn't bring water in.
Of course, it was ridiculous, and it is important. It is really important.
So, I mean, I silly. And if you're not allowed to bring an umbrella in, that's ridiculous as well. And it just feels like we, you know, there's still things that with this club that we need to that we need to fix. And that, you know, transparency, I think, is one of the things for me where I just find it's just, you know, as you say, if they're getting Ed Leake on, explain why in the statement that goes out, not on the pro boards, but in the statement that goes out, they're getting rid of Danny. You know, I think the statement, for whatever reason, needs to be bigger, because otherwise, you know, it's a very short statement, so people are still reading into that, you know, really what's happening. And then to let us know what the recruitment process is. Even if there is a line that simply says, you know, we will be looking to recruit, we're just going through a conversation at the moment about the dates and how it works, we're going to keep you informed. Just something as simple as that, I think, would be useful. But, you know, so
I think, yeah, you can be open. This is the thing with this stuff. You can be open without revealing confidential information, without setting off a panic. And actually, by being more closed, you're getting people worrying about stuff. Like, well, you know, I think you can be open about saying, you know, I don't see why you can't be open. If Danny Macklin had leave or reasons to be able to leave in 4 days, you can kind of spell that out without getting yourself into hot water, I reckon.
Yeah.
You know, transferring Chris over and who's the chair, who's just replaced him on the board, why, who's coming in as a casual member or whatever they call it. You know, you can say that stuff quite openly.
I think it takes a bit of time, but...
Yeah,
totally. It can be a very simple statement that at least tells you this is where we are in the process. Because otherwise, you know, like you say, you know, we at this club, I'm not sure if it's just this club. I'm sure other football clubs have their own thing, but we love a conspiracy here. And that's so if things are left unsaid or unclear, then you start, conspiracies start to build up. But yeah, so anyhow, the good thing is we've got, you know, there is going to be an SGM at some point this year. And it's because we called it. And now we go into that. Listen, we're just brief tonight, so we're not going to do any of the fireworks, because basically it's just me and Adam, and we can't remember any of the players anyhow. so
true,
but you know, we go on to our next match, and in a way, it, you know, away at Walsall, I'm relieved that it's away, but I just don't know. I mean, I really hope, you know, the worry is that we start to repeat what happens last season. There becomes a pattern, which we started off not too badly, and then it sort of drops away. Then we have a month where it picks up. We hit January, and you know, everything goes Pete Tong again. So we've got to make sure that. So that's my worry. So I you know, I really thought a win was essential for us. You know, like, it's nothing like being over dramatic. I really thought we was essential for us on Saturday. It doesn't, but if it, you know, I think that we can't afford to lose this game. Otherwise, I think things start to creep in again.
Well, we're on the same points and whatever as Walsall, so it's one of those games where I think, again, I mean, like, so I was the same as you. I was like, we have to win at home, because I feel like we have the potential for that. Confidence, a domino effect I've talked about before, and if we'd won, I felt that would kind of kick that off. And so, you know, Walsall away, you know, we need to try and win that game. We can't lose it, that's for sure. And then Tranmere, obviously, that's, yeah, like you say, so who knows what will happen over them over the weekend, but they're like you know, stuck at the bottom at the moment.
And have we got Harrogate in between?
Is that a Tuesday game?
Tuesday maybe? Night, yeah.
Yeah, let's have a look.
So, you know, but our hope, ladies and gentlemen, just before we wind up, is that he'll be here to report back on the Walsall game and give a preview of the Harrogate and Tranmere game. If there is a Harrogate game.
Oh, no, we don't have Harrogate. I just checked.
We're not going to do that. We'll do that the week after. Whenever the Harrogate game is, I've now, you know, I'm inventing things. I don't have all the information to my fingertips here, to be honest with you. I've only got the internet, and it's just not telling me stuff. But listen, Adam, Mate, it's always good to catch up. We'll be back again early next week, hopefully.
Yes, that is definitely the plan. Earlier on in the week, we have spoke to real listeners who have been very clear they liked it when we were early on in the week, and we also agree because we don't want to go up against the big podcasts. We like to be in our own lane, in our own space.
Yeah, with you, our listener. Until then, everybody, have a great weekend. Here's the 3 points, please. We look forward to getting back with you early next week. Thank you very much, Adam. My name is Matt Cooper. This is the Same Old Wombles. We're back.
Away, draining from my heart. You change.